I guess I like to show that I practice what I preach, but that doesn't necessarily, it's not all about having a six pack. It's you're looking a certain way. It's about feeling a certain way. But in a world where, you know, Instagram, it's 2 or 3 seconds and you swipe, maybe even 1 second. You know, you do have to capture someone's attention.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. We're leading a healthcare revolution by showing natural health and fitness experts how to become community influencers so they can build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, easily actionable expert branding and heart-centered marketing strategies so you can flood your practice with high-quality patients, building a healthier and happier community. And now your hosts, Angus Pike and Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. In this episode, we chatted with the bachelor, in fact, the first ever Australian bachelor, Tim Robards, former chiropractor, still a chiropractor as well. Shared a fascinating story. What were your thoughts on our chat with Tim?
Great story. We really wanted to dive into stories. I was really interested in Tim's journey from practitioner, working one-on-one, to now being of influence with his online program, the Robards Method. You know, helping thousands of people that he couldn't do when he was one-on-one with people in practice. And it was a really interesting to pick his brains on, you know, what's he learned in that journey. And I want to really listen up for our folks for the things that he did well that worked, but also some of the mistakes, some of the frustrations, some of the things that he was hesitant about doing. Really interesting.
So many of the health practitioners that we chat to have a vision for reaching more people. And the biggest barrier that gets in the way is a headspace barrier. We're scared to put ourselves out there. And it was interesting in talking to Tim. He had those same fears. And when he's public presenting now, he's still nervous with it. He's stepping into television now. He's incredibly nervous about that too. But he went through this process where he would weigh up what's the potential upside, what's the potential risks from there. And if the upside was more than the downside, then he leapt into it too. And that framework has really helped him move forwards. And it could be a framework that we could borrow, that, you know, absolutely. And as you mentioned, so many of the people that we speak to have this vision of wanting to take their message from one to one to one to many. And he's a great example of that too, which kind of brings me to this point, because this episode is brought to you by, you know, the release of our Community Influencer Program as well, which is what kind of really underpins that too. We see the practice of the future being run by someone like you that we refer to as a community influencer, someone that's wanting to not just share their message inside their practice, but they're wanting to put a stake in the ground and say, you know what, this healthcare system needs support. You know, it needs, and the people in our community need guidance. Our healthcare system, as wonderful as it is in some areas of emergency care, it's not helping people get healthy. In particular, you know, the time we're recording this, the CDC just released some pretty wild stats.
Yeah, that's for the second year in a row that the life expectancy of the human race is going down.
Yeah, they're US-based stats, but they're interesting. That's probably similar in other
areas. Not going to be too much different. So, you know, Angus and I have been sitting here thinking, what can we do? You know, how can we empower you as a practitioner to get outside your four walls? And as Angus said, put a stake in the ground and say, enough's enough. We need to be empowering people to make better choices, to have better behaviors, to have better headspace around health and life. And as natural health practitioners, we've got the answers. You know, we've got some incredible skills and some incredible knowledge that can really take people and really transform their lives.
You know, half the world's population now is online. They're consuming information through social media. You know, they're accessing it through the phone. And if I wanted to find out about more about you and find out why I should come and see you as a person next door, like what would I find? And we found out that when we spoke to the vast majority of particularly, you know, whether it be chiropractors, natural health practitioners, is that they were invisible. There was nothing there that differentiated them from anybody else. They end up being a commodity that we talk about, which means the only reason why somebody would choose you is based on price alone. You know, we choose milk and eggs based on price. They're a commodity. We need to learn how to differentiate ourselves, to have a conversation, an important conversation, meaningful conversations as well. That's exactly what we do inside the Community Influencer. You and I were frustrated that great degrees that we got taught us how to be wonderful chiropractors, but as chiropractors, we also need to be small business owners. And no one ever showed us that. The ideas that we had of marketing were this pushy, sleazy, ideas, as opposed to what we stand for us at Community Influence there is showing you how to have meaningful conversations with your community that build authority, expertise, trust, and even celebrity if that's what you're after as well. So it's a beautiful learning platform that'll teach you how to do everything from, you know, look after your own website, create brilliant content, you name it from there. The world of online marketing is all inside Community Influencer.
Absolutely. It's all inside. So if you want to check out more about that, then head over to adiomedia.com/CI for Community Influencer, and you can find out more about how to become involved in the Community Influencer program. So enough for now. Enjoy the chat we had with Tim, and see you on the inside. Oh, welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, Tim Robards. G'day, great to see you.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Thanks for being on. We were talking just beforehand, you know, we see this, the practice of the future really does have an element of personal branding, and we thought there was, you know, no one better than to get you on. But where did this journey begin for you? For those of our listeners that don't necessarily know you, give us a bit of a thumbnail of your journey.
How far back do we go? I'll try and give you the quick version. I could talk all day. My journey into health sort of started probably around 13, when I wanted to join the high school football team. I was kind of skinny, not really strong. I didn't have the confidence to join, and I was always a shy kid, so I didn't really thrive in team sports. However, grew up in Newcastle, small country, well, not really country town, but not as big as the big city in Sydney, you know, and grew up there. And football was like, you know, the pinnacle of where you could get to. Anyway, I loved it, loved watching it, and wanted to always play it. So I was like, right, I didn't even try out for year seven, my first year of high school. I was too scared to. So I was like, right, I'll build myself up, gain some strength through the gym, through exercise, started reading men's health magazines, you know, getting tips of how to build yourself stronger, what to eat, all that sort of stuff. So I did that. At the same time, my mum was, she had this kind of weird illness, sickness. She got diagnosed from everything under the sun, from narcolepsy to chronic fatigue syndrome to whatever. But she used to have these like kind of turns. And she'd be, you know, convulsing on the ground with all this pain in her head, and you know, that went on for about 7 years, and she'd be bedridden for a few days after a turn. And initially, it, you know, it kind of was happening once a fortnight almost, and then the rest of the time she was always just super low energy and pain all through her body and stuff. So going through that and seeing my mum, kind of, who was always healthy, but you know, used to very flighty, like a little bit, you know, she was always a bit fight or flighty. I had my grandma at the time was into Chinese medicine, and she did massage, qigong, tai chi, taught it all. She was basically Chinese without being Chinese. And I grew up with, you know, her doing Chinese massage on me from when I was about five. So I, you know, she'd talk about qi flow and little things. You know, she used to drive us along, and we'd pull up beside a jacaranda tree, which are out at the moment, and she'd go, breathe in the color, the healing color, and she'd take us to the beach and, you know, make us watch the sun come out of the ocean. But she, instead of just going, you know, the world's turning and this and that, she'd be like, right, the sea's about to bubble and boil, and the sun's about to burst out of the ocean. You know, she just had this different way of looking at the world, and I always used to question it, being kind of more scientifically minded. But at the same time, there was always this kind of fun element in there. And knowing now what I know, I went and studied photonics was my first degree. So fiber optics, laser design, all the physics behind light. Now you can see with, like, you know, laser therapy, there's so much coming out behind what actual light as a therapy, and the purple light, you know, the jacaranda color light, the healing properties of that, what that does. It's amazing. So she was way ahead of her time. And even just getting up in the morning, seeing those first rays of, you know, the orange light, what that does for your eyes, your retina, and for your sleep, your circadian rhythm, all of that sort of stuff, you know. So she was way ahead of her time. So I think going through all that as a kid and seeing my mum battle and go through all the medical system of trying to find a diagnosis, like a putting a name or a label on her illness, and just being so left for not knowing, never knowing what the hell is going on. We still don't even know exactly, but just constantly kind of searching for what was going on and not getting any answers. And that sort of started getting me to think outside of your, you know, outside of the box. And that led me then, I believe, into chiropractic eventually. So I kind of got through my physics degree or finished it a little bit early. Quit it a little bit early. I'm like, I don't want to be in a white lab coat for the rest of my life in a lab somewhere. So, that eventually got me there and then became a chiropractor.
There you go.
And then the big crescendo, how did the journey go from chiropractor into the bachelor? How did that all come about?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've always, when I look back, and people could say, oh, you know, the bachelor sort of changed things. It seems like it was, you know, there was quite a bit of a change in my life then. However, it wasn't like I was sitting back doing nothing and this opportunity came and then all of a sudden my life just changed. Every single thing I did up to then made that happen. You know, there was potentially a lot of, like, they came to me and asked me to audition. They'd known me through my clinic and through, so I used to do some modeling stuff. You know, I'd had a bit of, I'd had many years in front of the camera doing different things. And, you know, I think you could say I've trained really well. I used to date a lot of girls and was really good at it. But I think everything I'd done in my life to that point kind of made me at the time, I guess they saw me as the right man for the job in a way. And I was at a point in my life where I really did want to meet someone. And because it was the first time that ever ran the show, I believed that their main intention, I mean, they're making a show. It's all about ratings, advertising. However, I still believe that the main intention, they wanted to actually have a happy ending at the end of the show. They really wanted to have two people find each other, fall in love. And they ideally wanted like an engagement and whatever else. Nowadays, since we gave that to them, I think it's less of a, you know, they don't necessarily need that. They're a bit more, they get into the drama of things and they got to up the ratings every year. So sometimes they probably don't care if someone picks someone at the end. They just care that it, you know, it gets the magazine covers and everything else, which is fine. But I think we were really lucky that came about, that opportunity. And then from there, really, that just gave me an even bigger belief in myself, because you go through something like that, you're having to put yourself out there in front of so many people for judgment. You're having to put yourself out of your comfort zone every single day and doing something new, and really have to start to believe in yourself. And the biggest thing I got out of that was to believe in myself of what I'm capable of.
And how does that go? Because I know for all of us, as you know, we're talking to mostly kind of alternate, there's pressure that comes from us, community, all that kind of stuff there, that we, you know, if we're wanting to build our practice, whether it be through social media, through corporate talks, those kind of stuff, a certain amount of that is about putting yourself out there. What helped you, you know, believe in yourself? Or if someone said, look, I want to build some more self-belief, what do you, like, how do you go about that? How does that happen?
Hardest thing is, the best way to do it is to, you've got to shit yourself first. You've got to put yourself out there, and there's no kind of easy way to do it beforehand. You've got to go through the nerves, the butterflies, the uncertainty, put yourself out there. And then once you do it and you achieve something and you actually go, you know what, that was actually a positive experience, that's what gives you that little bit of extra strength. It is really hard before doing something that is, say, outside of your comfort zone. It's hard to just get to a point beforehand where you are totally 100% okay with it, you know. However, I also come back to what I try and do is to balance out. When you look at a situation, a lot of people, especially going to something that is a little challenging or nerve-wracking or outside the comfort zone, they'll look at it and go, right, do I perceive that there is going to be more negative than positive from this, or more pain than pleasure, or, is there, like D. Martini says, is there a door going to close but another one not going to open? If you perceive that something is going to have more negative than positive, then why do it? You're going to deter yourself away from it to start with. So it's really getting into your head and going, okay, what is the worst that is actually going to happen? Mm-hmm. Most people usually focus on the worst thing, and there's usually like less than a 1% chance of that actually happening. And what is the chances of actually something positive coming out of this? You know, if I'm going to get up and give a big talk, I still get nervous, but I try at least to convince myself, you know, most of the time people just want to see you do well. They don't actually want to see you fail up on stage. You know, it's not necessarily, especially with a talk, it's not necessarily all about you. They're not just looking at you and judging you. They're actually listening to what you've got to say. So I would, when it comes to creating content or giving something online, if you're a practitioner, is to think, okay, it's less about you and people judging you. It's more about what you've got to offer them. So do you have some information that you really think could help them? Then let that come through and focus on the positive that you're about to do for that person or the many people that are listening to you, and not just get in your own head where it's all about you and the judgment on you. Make it about them. But in saying that, you've still got to go through those initial times, and as you do more of it, you have those little wins and you start to go, okay, you know what? There is more positive than there is negative to come out of these situations.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you say that, Tim, because sometimes it is easy to get caught up in some of the, you know, that kind of headspace stuff and got to do some work and all sorts of stuff. But nice, simple advice of there, just put yourself out there for a better way to look at it and just continue from there. It's great. Now, I'm really interested in this next step of your journey because you've gone, you know, bachelor, great. Now, as far as a personal brand goes, you know, the Tim Robards, the Robards method, I mean, it's your names on it, your yep. six packs on it, your amazing rig is on it. Like, and the reason I say that is because you are the brand of your business 100%. How's that journey been, and how was the decision to do that? Were you hesitant? Was it just naturally right? What was, take me through that process.
Yeah, I guess so. I looked at initially, what do I love doing? That's the main thing. Whatever you do, you've got to love doing it, because then it doesn't seem like work. You're always going to be inspired to do it. It's not going to feel like, you know, you're not going to be like, damn it, I've got to go and sit in that office and do that. You're going to be inspired to do it. So that's number one thing. Love what you're doing, what you're about to do, or whatever business you're going into, or whatever. But then I guess with the Robards method, I was like, I love what I was seeing in clinic was, you know, most of the time people's issues were lifestyle related. It was it was lack of movement, lack of good food, whatever. You know, I can crack away at them. And that's great, and it can help, it can stimulate change and all of that. However, most of the cause of their issues was not their lack of adjustments, it was their shitty lifestyle. So I was like, how can I almost do myself out of the job by creating the Robards method? But it's more, you know, that's for me, I can sleep better at night if I'm, you know, when you give someone an exercise to go home with. They may do it, they may not. When they've got a kind of a lifestyle program to go home with, they may be more likely to do it in a way. So that was, a sort of combination of all those things that I'd learned in clinic, I put into the Robards method. And then when it comes to branding with the whole thing, I was like, right, I battle with this a little bit in many different ways, but using my face, my body sometimes, you know, all of that, it can be a good thing, but there can be some negatives to it as well. So I guess I like to show that I practice what I preach, but that doesn't necessarily, it's not all about having a six pack. It's you're looking a certain way. It's about feeling a certain way. But in a world where, you know, Instagram, it's 2 or 3 seconds and you swipe, maybe even 1 second, you know, you do have to capture someone's attention. And as bad as it sounds, sometimes capturing their attention, you're more likely to capture someone's attention with a shirtless image and a six pack than a shirt on image that's bland in crap lighting with a crap background. You know, you do have to, in this visual world, you've got to capture someone's attention. But in that, people can prejudge with what's going on in their own head. So they can just go, they may see my image from afar and go, oh yeah, Tim's thing, it's, you do his program if you're a 30, 40-year-old guy who wants six-pack abs. Whereas most of the people that do my program who benefit the most from it are women who are, you know, struggling to even do a push-up, who they go down to the local park and there's no way they could think of doing a chin-up. They're the ones who, you know, a couple of months down the track, they're pulling out their first chin-ups. And it's not all about getting a six-pack. It's about getting strong, being confident in your body and feeling good in your body But and having, you know, I really believe that your physical body is a reflection of kind of two things, your lifestyle and your genetics. You know, we all have certain genetics, but whatever you put that, you know, those cells in, whatever environment you put them in, whether it's an environment with exercise and good food, like in the robots method, or it's a highly stressful job with no movement and crap food, you have two, you know, twins that are obviously, if they're in two different, have two different lifestyles, they're going to have two different looking bodies, you know. So, yeah, so it's that balance of trying to inspire people, but a lot of people can, in a very quick visual world, they can just go bang, oh, that guy is that guy, you know, the six pack ab guy, and they don't hear the rest of the picture and what the story is. Some people do, a lot of people don't. So yeah, there's benefits in that, but that's a big one to be really conscious of.
Yeah. So Tim, did you have this idea that the Tim Robards, the Robards method, was going to be for women who were struggling with strength and wanted to get stronger? Or has that become a niche just because you put it out there and they've circled around, therefore you now put content out to attract more of that person?
No, it was like, as a chiropractor, you would know, in as a practitioner, you would know that, like, you don't necessarily rule out anyone. You'll kind of at least look or treat or you know, at least assess anyone that walks in your door. Generally, you don't go, oh, I only look after 18 to 25 year old women, you know, or I only look after 60 plus year old men. So for me, from a marketing point of view, it's probably not great, because your marketing, your spread is so wide, and people, when they look at my program, obviously from a visual point of view, they go, oh, you're just that. But I wrote the program to apply for anyone, beginners, experts. Like, it's a big program. There are all these different levels. It's very in depth. And if you're a total beginner, there's a level for you. If you're, like, you know, been doing CrossFit for 5 years, there's a level for you that's going to challenge you and stuff you can't do. So it's a huge program that caters for everyone. But to get that out in, like, one sentence or one image is really hard to do from a marketing point of view. So from that side of things, maybe initially I probably should have created, like, almost separate programs and had, like, you know, an ambassador as such for the women, the mid, you know, mid age, you know, for the men that are this and for that, you know. But it's at the same time, for the people that listen to what I've got to say, they get it. But it's just then convincing them just to take that little bit of extra time to actually listen to what I've got to say. You've kind of almost, especially if you're promoting through social media, you've got to have something that's going to stop them to look, but then you hope they look and read a little bit further and actually get the message. Because I just had an interview the other day about this, because there's also on social media, you know, everyone's putting their best self forward, and it can create an unrealistic expectation on people, especially young people. And I don't want to be someone that is creating you know, issues with, say, young men who look at Instagram and go, oh, if I want to feel accepted, I need to look like that. I don't want that. But at the same time, I want to show that, you know, I either sit back and do nothing, or I try and inspire. It's that balance of, you know, if people don't stop and actually read what I'm saying, then they could just go, oh, yeah, that's, you know, I'll never look like that. I feel bad about myself, and I need to, you know, I'm not going to eat for the next couple of days because I need to, you know, lose fat to look like that and feel accepted. There's that, or you can listen to what I'm actually saying, which is, you know, eat good food, move a little bit, and do it. You don't have to, I'm not kind of going, you know, eat brown rice and go to the gym and smash yourself 7 days a week. It's just giving your body what it needs to be healthy and feel good. And once the people that actually do listen and go, and it becomes, they're not training and then necessarily looking in the mirror after every training session going, how do I look? They're actually locked on to, you know what, I couldn't hold myself up on the rings a month ago, and I'm almost there. And they can't wait to get to the next session to go, I can almost do a dip on the rings, or I can almost do a chin up, or there might be someone, you know, I'm this close to doing a muscle up. They become more skill based goals and not so much about the way they look. However, it's still nice, you know, looking a certain way still gives you a certain confidence as well. So it all kind of comes in, but I think there's so much emphasis on that these days. And, that's not what I want to be a part of, but it is a balance out there. You do have a responsibility on social media and with your marketing.
Mm. Tim, there'll be lots of our listeners that have thoughts about wanting to put together their own online program, whether it's be just to support the people in their own practice or to add an online component to their practice as well. What are some of the big kind of learnings that you had in kind of putting that all together? What are the hurdles you had to jump?
I would not create your own app. Go and use a template. If you're going to use an app or something like that, there's so many places out there now that have templates. They're super cheap. Don't go and create your own because it'll cost you $200,000. People don't realize that, you know, if you go and build your own website from scratch and your app and all this, that's an expensive, you know, exercise. And then, you know, if you're going to have an app, say you need people there to answer the phone when there's problems with payments, when there's problems with this. So many of the companies out there will offer something whereby they offer the support. You know, they've got people on the phones, they've got the template there, and you just plug in your information and it's all taken care of. So something like that can be a much better system. You might give them a cut of sales or whatever it is, but or whether you cover it, whatever, however that works. You know, keep it simple. Don't try and go and create this big new website. Just use templates and keep it as simple as you can. That's from an app kind of tech point of view. I think one of the big ones most people struggle with is talking on camera. That's one thing, whether you're starting up a YouTube channel or a podcast or you just want to throw some stuff on Instagram or whatever, it's getting comfortable, getting energetic, having some energy in your content. You know, a lot of us, we're in, you know, quiet, calm practices. And when we go to, you know, put up a video, it's, "Hi guys, you know, today I want to show you three exercises for tennis elbow." It's not interesting to watch, you know. So work on your energy. And a lot of times that comes because you're a bit nervous and stuff. But, you know, it just takes practice. Do a lot of that and record it before you actually put it up and watch it back. And if you wouldn't watch it yourself, then no one else will. So, you know, there's got to be, I think the camera kind of takes about, I don't know, you could say 20%, 50% of your energy away. So, you know, I might come in and go, "Hey guys, I'm here, da 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 da." I wouldn't normally talk like this in real life, but when you get on camera, it kind of sucks away a lot of that energy. So my relaxed, normal self comes across as boring as hell on TV. So I always have to just, you don't have to overdo it, but it's finding that level where you're bringing something to it, but you're not deadpan.
Yeah, nice.
And then what about the organization of the content? Was it difficult for you to decide what to put in there and how much to include before it just becomes some encyclopedia of everything to do with eating, moving, sleeping? How did you go with organizing the content and stuff to go inside the Robards Method?
Yeah. So there's sort of two elements of the Robards Method. One is the fitness program. And that is based on, the way that works is kind of like karate, where you might start, you know, you've got different belts. We call them level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and each level has 5 grading levels. At the end of each month, you have a little exam. If you pass that exam, you move to the next level. So there's kind of an element of gamification. So you're kind of rewarded with a new program at the end of each month. If you fail that exam and you know that that's coming up, so you've got something to look forward to and something to train for. So there's a time-based goal, which I think time-based goals are important. And then if you pass that exam, you move forward. If you fail, you go to the naughty corner and there's a special workout you have to do for another week. But we don't give you all of these options all at once on the fitness app. You sign up to the level that's right for you to start. And then you only get exposed to each month at a time. I'm not going, "Here's 500 workouts, choose one." So in some ways, some people like that. It is a bit restrictive because you only get what, just like belts and karate, you go in there, you can't go, "Oh, can I just start on brown belt?" You can't. On my program, you kind of can on other levels, but you have to do what the level you're physically available to do and capable of doing until we let you move to the next level. That's that side of things. The other side, I have the nutrition lifestyle stuff, which is what we call 7-2-1. And that is delivered in a way, it's kind of like an online book. There's different modules And what I try and encourage people to do is just tick off a module, say each day. I've really refined it down so I'm not just filling the pages with words to, you know, sometimes people just like a book that's, you know, an inch thick. So they just fill it with stuff and you're repeating yourself on this. Like, I want people to be able to read, you know, 2 minutes on the train on the way to work, learn everything they need to know about sugar. Day after, learn everything they need to know about what sort of oils to cook with in 2 minutes, you know, not like a massive chapter and giving you all the backbones of everything. You just need to know the basics. That's what most people lack, is the basics. So yeah, I just try and keep it simple. I have it where it, you know, once you've read something, it kind of blacks out. So I think, you know, it keeps people accountable and it's kind of time-based. I think that's important. If you don't have any time-based kind of goals or structure, then it can fall behind really quick. It can just become, you know, another book you kind of forward through, you go back, you just all over the shop, and then you miss everything. Whereas when you move through something in a structured, progressional way, I think that's really important.
Tim, did you have a long range thing? You go, okay, I'm going to release the Robards method because that's going to then lead to this, to lead to that, or was it just release the Robards method and then kind of see what happens?
Yeah, I guess at that point, I thought, you know, there's always ways we could add on and build on in the future, and develop it. But the program initially that I wrote is so big. Like, we spent a long time. It took about a year to write it. I had to write over 100 different programs and you know, photographing it and videoing it took forever. So we kind of, I gave that program like longevity. The only thing that you don't really think about at the time is that technology will change. So, you know, the app, you might get 3 or 4 years out of it, and then the technology with the app and the videos and this and that will change. You know, next it might be, what do they call it, where you know, virtual reality sort of stuff, or, you know, different tech will change. So even though the exercises may not change, you'll probably have to go and reshoot it all again every 3 years or whatever, just to make it work with tech and the way people want to view things. You know, now everyone's going, you know, like screens become HD now, they're 4K, then they're this, you know, so you've got to keep up with that. But essentially that program can continue on. One thing I now can add to it, so we can start to add little intro things. So like 6 weeks to a strong core and fat shedding, you know, or 6 weeks to a stronger lower back. So we can add in these little programs that are little standalone things that then also can feed to the main one. So people can come in and go, oh, I really liked your little core abs program. I want the big, you know, the Robards method main program is the big honcho. I want more. So I go into that. So you can have, and then some people just go, you know, I don't want that. I already go to the gym. I do CrossFit, but I really love, you know, the ab stuff you've created, or the Save Your Lower Back program. So there's always the ability to add that stuff in. But I think from a nutrition point of view, you know, that's one also where you can always continually add, and things are always changing at times, and you know, you can come up with a plant-based menu, or you could add in, you know, for the meat lovers, here's how to try and be healthy if you're eating meat, you know, that sort of stuff. So yeah, there's lots of different avenues you can go down. I think more and more, the more I learn is more like mindset. That's one thing I'd really love to go more and more on, because, you know, you can tell everyone how to do things, what to do, but unless they've made the decision to actually do it, unless they're motivated to actually do it, they're going to go nowhere.
And do you have some thoughts around helping with that motivation? You know, what kind of things would be helpful to kind of put in that? You know, because the motivation, whether it be, you know, to work out, to do something with our practice, to be in a relationship, those kind of things, it's all the same thing. And it's, you know, what works there?
I have some bits and pieces in the 7-2-1 plan that tackle motivation and finding, you know, your purpose, your values, that side of things. Also, I think that's something you want to try, and you really need to hit people with every day. So I try and do that a bit more, like even just on social media and through our EDMs and things like that. And then I do a lot of talks at the moment myself as well. It's probably something I should do more of, you know, Instagram lives and things like that, where we get onto that on a regular basis. But yeah, I do a lot of corporate talks, and I'm heading off to Fiji this weekend to do another talk on how to get more energy. And essentially that's just through finding more purpose, getting, you know, doing what you love, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think that's a, that's one where you've got to balance it out. Some people just want to come do the workout, not have you ramble on about mindset, and they've already got a strong mindset. The ones who don't have a strong mindset, it's like, yeah, how do you get into to help them? How do you get into where they're going to listen to what you've got to say? And, you know, I think sometimes those daily things that they get onto your social media, and that is sometimes the best way to do that.
Mm. What, in the name of our podcast being the Marketing Your Practice podcast, what have you learned marketing this? Because it seems that you had all these other great trainings along with fitness and health and all that kind of stuff, but very few of us come naturally to marketing. So what's the journey? Yeah. That what's worked for you, what hasn't worked?
Yep. So the big one was people, what I would find, yeah, with using me as the image for my fitness program scared a lot of people off. Using Olympic rings scares a lot of people off because they doubt themselves. They go, oh, aren't they just for gymnasts? You know, like I didn't realize that, you know, a grandma could use them, but you can. And so, and in a world where people aren't watching your 3-minute video that explains it all, you've got to get those messages out quick. I think it's important to, to have the right people. Like I may not be the right person to advertise it. Like if I really wanted to get a lot of women, I would use my missus, my wife, and have her doing the exercise all the time. Because most women will look at a girl and go, okay, she's got a program. I want to look like her. I'll do her program. I gel with her. You know, a lot of women aren't necessarily going to look at me and go, I want to look like him. But that's, I think, the way a lot of people think. They go, first, we're very visual initially. I want to look like that person. I'll see what their program is. Whereas I have to kind of get that little bit extra where the women that do my program, they listen to what I've got to say and they go, I like what he's about. I like what he's saying. I want to come on board with that. But from a visual point of view, and that's usually what ropes people in initially, you know, and especially in the social media marketing, you've got to be visual. So, you know, I've kept Anna separate because I don't want it to be the Tim and Anna program.
Mm.
But she helps out every now and then. But, you know, if I was purely just on marketing, I'd have her all over it everywhere, you know. So that'd be getting all the women in. And I think women are probably more so the ones who are more proactive in a lot of, you know, from my clinic, the women are the ones usually doing the exercises more. They're a little bit more proactive with their wellness as opposed to the men. Men are a bit more, you know, they wait till their legs almost falling off. Or they'll, you know, if they want to, you know, go to the gym and get healthy or get bigger or whatever, gain some strength, they'll kind of, you know, look up some YouTube stuff, but they don't need to be part of a community as much as I find women generally really like to be part of a group or community. That's why most of the gym classes you'll find more women doing it. They like to feel a part of something. So all those things kind of matter with how you're marketing. So if you're going to market, if you're marketing to women, then you probably want to show that your program has a community of people. So when you join it, you're joining a community of people. Whereas, you know, from a male point of view, in general, they want to do it themselves in their own little space and they don't need that. So there's different ways you would market that in your content, your videos and things, you know. So, but I'm always still learning. If I went back and did it again, I'd probably definitely be a bit more, from a marketing point of view, more specific in my market and not use my visuals for the whole program. Maybe use Anna.
There you go. Well, there's a good rule for relationships as well, isn't it? Hey, always use your wife as the front of house. So that's a good tip.
Then I'd have to work with her a lot more, and that may not be good for the relationship.
True.
Some space is always good.
Absolutely. So what's next for you, Tim? What's on the plan other than adding, you know, bits and things, add-ons to the program?
Yeah.
What else is up? You're doing lots of talks, you're doing lots of shows, you're at functions
I really love you know, when I get clear on my values and what I love doing, it is to kind of, you know, it sounds a bit wanky, but inspire people to do. It's rewarding for me when I have someone contact me and go, hey, what you said or what you did has inspired me to go and start doing exercise or go and do chin-ups or go and eat better, or it's just given me confidence and now I've got this new job or whatever it is. And that come back to me, and it makes me feel good about myself. I love doing that. I love moving people, and to get them, to inspire them to do something, you're moving them a little bit emotionally to a certain degree. And I also love the creativity. Like, I've been doing more and more producing and little videos and stuff and little ads and things, and enjoying the creativity that comes behind that, and working with a team when it comes to, you know, TV and producing and video and stuff like that, working with a team of creative people. So that's getting me more and more out of the clinic these days. And one thing I've always wanted to do is acting. And I find acting is another way that you can, like, if I look at some of the movies that I remember them because they've moved me emotionally. They've got me thinking. They've either changed the way I've been thinking about something, or just in some way they've moved me emotionally. And I would love to be able to do that through an acting role, you know, instead of always just through a talk on a stage or talking to someone, laying on my chiropractic table. You can do that from the other side of the TV, depending on what role you're in, you know. But so I just did an 8-week role on Neighbours. I'd been training for sort of 6 months behind the scenes. And the acting training also helps with your presenting and your talking. But I'd really want to get into some acting. So I was doing all that work behind the scenes and putting myself out of my comfort zone all the time. You know, it was bloody nerve-wracking. You're going in there and you're doing these scenes and emotional things in front of people that have been, you know, they've done 3 years of NIDA and this and that, and I've done basically nothing. But, you know, I did that for 6 months and then had my first audition and got my first audition. So I got that role on Neighbours, and that was a great experience. Very nerve-wracking again. It was probably some of the most nerve-wracking weeks of my life, like every day driving to work with butterflies in my stomach, more so because I just wasn't sure if the lines were going to be in there, and my fear was that I was going to put other people out. It wasn't so much about the fear of I'm not going to be good enough and that. You have that a little bit, but it was just the fear all the time of I'd have a mental blank and I'd put everyone else out because you're on such a time-based, you know, thing there. It's a big production, and that was my kind of fear. And so I just, you know, I got to a point, I'm like, I'm not going to enjoy this if I just have butterflies every day, all day. And I had to really work on, one, getting that part of my brain. It's like a new muscle that you're not used to working. So I just had to work it, and get it to switch on more. And also just not go into that panic mode. As soon as you go into panic mode, your brain works even less. You know, so I had to really kind of work on a lot of different angles. I'd be infrared sauning it, you know, during the day, lots of training, lots of things to balance out the stress and anxiety and that fight or flight that I'd find myself in a lot, and that high pressure. So, so that's where I've been. So I want to continue to do the acting side of things and get into, you know, down the track. It'd be great to get into some really moving emotional sort of, you know, stuff. So that would be good.
Sounds great. I just want to touch there on a point, gang, that those listening, watching, I hope you've picked up on one of the commonalities of people that we've been interviewing over, well, many weeks now, which is our practice multiplier number 6, this growth mindset, Tim. We just hear it in your talking there of, you know, yes, you get nervous. Yes, you're shitting yourself at times. Yes, you're out of your comfort zone, but it's a challenge, and you just step up. And the more you step up and see that as a challenge and just something that's going to make you grow and get to the next level with whatever it is that you're doing, I really applaud you. And I also just highlight everyone, man, just everyone that we interview, it has this amazing sense of growth mindset. So, hats off to you, buddy, all the best.
Thanks. One of the big things that I did this year, and I've been wanting to do it for years, and I finally did it, was to create a big vision board. And it just gave me so much clarity. I look at it every day. I have some sayings on there that I've printed out. I just went through, you know, through Google and just copy and pasted a whole bunch and did it on Canva. You can do it canva.com or something like that. Yeah. Put it all together, print it out. And one of the ones in there was, I think it was, you know, don't limit your challenges, challenge your limits. And, you know, little things like that. And you look at that every day and you just, it just sets you up to continue pushing forward. But the big one is that I have learned is if you're continually trying to push forward and better yourself, you want to make sure that you're not subconsciously telling yourself that you're not good enough at the moment. And that's an easy one. A lot of people, they're constantly trying to be better and improve themselves. But if you're subconsciously telling yourself that you're not good enough at the moment, that's not a good thing. So you have to take the time to also sit back and reflect and go, what I have right now, what I've achieved is bloody awesome, and let's keep moving forward.
Nice.
What a great way to finish up from there too.
Great way.
Tim, thanks for sharing so generously with us today. What a heck of a journey. We're excited to see what comes next for you. We wish you the very best going forward to everything. So maybe we've got another Bradley Cooper in the future going on.
Well, I'm about to get some singing lessons, so you know.
Man, can't that guy sing too? Dude, is there anything that Bradley cannot do?
There you go. There's the piano in the background.
Well, I've got to say though, Tim, if it turns out with all of this that you can sing as well, it'll be the end of our relationship. You've got enough going for you. If it turns out that you can sing also, I'm like,
Everyone can sing. With the right training, everyone can sing.
Just give us one of these ones, buddy. Come on.
You want to flex?
There you go. Look at that. Wonderful stuff, buddy. Where do people go to find out about the Robards Method? Where do they hook up?
TheRobardsMethod.com. So head there. We've got, TheRobardsMethod.com. Nice and easy.
Probably the URL I would have chosen too.
Yeah.
And TheRobardsMethod on Instagram as well.
Yep.
So I'm Mr. Robards on Instagram.
Perfect.
We'll be sure to have all those links down to the different social pipelines and website and stuff underneath the show notes through here as well. I love following your posts. I followed you all through Italy earlier on in the year and all through there as well. It's great to see everything. It looks from the outside such a lovely, genuine relationship. We wish you all the best with the marriage, everything going forwards as well, and hope to see you continue on the silver stage as we move forwards as well.
I hope so. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for the opportunity, and hope everyone else out there gets a few tips from some of my mistakes and some of the good things I've done.
Nice work, buddy. Catch up soon. Thanks heaps.
Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers. Bye.
See ya.